عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. There is one hadith that I have been given the good fortune to recite. This hadith is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. This is the final portion of the hadith that I have recited in your service. Now shaitan, the devil, what does he do? He, in our minds, our brains, our thoughts, he instills the most dangerous upon dangerous, you can say mashwara. He gives the most dangerous advice, the most dangerous nasiha. And every advice or consultation of shaitan takes a person to Jahannam, and everybody is aware of this. Shaitan's full attempt is that he wants everyone to be earning loss. Doesn't matter where that person is, in front of the Kaaba or in Masjid al-Nabawi or Bayt al-Maqdis or in any masjid or in busy and occupied in any ibadah or worship. Shaitan is not tired, doesn't get tired from doing his bad actions. Nope, he will continue. What does he do? Is that he wants to drag insan towards hellfire. That's what shaitan wants to do. And Allah has given him total freedom, or Allah Ta'ala has given him that opportunity to try this. And shaitan's trying to take us towards loss. And his mashwara, his advice, which we call thoughts, the evil inclinations, and we think, oh, this waswas is coming, or this bad thought's coming, and this shaitani thoughts. And when a person has these thoughts and feelings in his mind, and he doesn't take anybody towards good and takes people towards bad actions. Oh, let's look at this woman. Look at this girl. Or, for example, there's an advert to do something bad. You say, oh, it doesn't matter. Let's leave what we're doing. This is better. We'll earn more and quicker. So this is the mashwara, or you could say the whispering of shaitan. And this is the duty that Allah Ta'ala has given to shaitan. If you have an enemy, and the enemy, you need to plan how you're going to attack that person, then the person who you're attacking will think, how do I defend myself? For example, if I know in the evening the enemy will come and he'll hit me at home, then obviously I'll have a guard or I'll put the padlocks on. And this is the reason why we close our houses in the evening and put the padlocks on there, because we are scared, we're afraid that we don't want the thief to enter. So this is the work of shaitan. So from this, we see that one waswasa of shaitan, one of the things that he whispers and advises, is very dangerous. And from those thoughts, the person's house, you can say, transfers into Jahannam. And Jahannam is coming to that person's life, whether it's man or woman. So this is very dangerous. And we accept this. We are aware of this. We're all aware of this. And we follow shaitan's advice and his consultation. And I'll tell you all that will think now that we are also following shaitan's advice. Totally you are, whether you accept or not, but you are. We are. So totally we're on the mission, the bank of the mission. Every person is in existence in the same way. Everyone. Doesn't matter who is it, this is my experience. What is that person? That person has done an action that he has instilled into the mind of the person this point. And this is the waswasa. That maut, you know, death. That there's a time for death and it will come to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what we say, isn't it? That death will come at once upon a time. And who's telling us this? Who? Tell me, who? That can there be a time that we know that is set aside for death? Do I know that if the death is going to come after 2 hours to me, or a set amount of time? Has any wali said this? Has any nabi said this? That we know when maut is going to come? Do we know when our maut is going to come? Then why do we follow shaitan's advice? And why do we think, oh, death will come at a certain time? Many years later, we can do what we want now. So when shaitan instills this thought continuously into our minds, day in, day out, we say, oh, he's alright, he's young. He'll practice. He's not even young yet. He's not even into the young age yet. What difference does it make if he does these things? Oh, he's just got married. Oh, don't have to get married yet. 4 days to go. Wait here. He's not going to die yet. Doesn't need to get married yet or tied up. So he's young. He's not an old man. So what's stopping that person? Good deeds. The ability to do good deeds. And he's given advice. And he, for example, will say, oh, it's okay. He's my young son. Doesn't matter. He's young. And he'll pray when he needs to, or worship when he grows up. Imagine how we reject the facts and the reality. We need to think that this is a dangerous situation. The mouth shaitan has stopped us. The person who's young, the young children, or you could say middle-aged person, whatever, even when the white hairs come, shaitan makes us think, oh, it's okay, this happens anyway. Oh, these are hairs due to the cold and the color comes out. To this extent, that this point that shaitan has injected into our minds, oh, maut is nothing, it's okay, no problem. And then there's a further full phrase that the time for death is allotted. I remember a couplet, a poem, and the shair was saying that maut will come at a certain fixed time. So why are you afraid? Sleep with ease. Don't have worry. So shaitan gives us this total waswasa, that the time has come, and you know when you're going to die. Allah Ta'ala knows when you're going to die. You can't make any amends with that. You can't change anything. This is our falsafa, isn't it? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is what has made us lose out today. So shall I tell you what is the link between death and us? The link of death, my friends, is such that has come to my mind, whether we accept or not, but I need to explain this fact and share it with us. That, for example, there's a boss and a secretary. That's the link between death and us, isn't it? The boss is sitting there in his room, in his office, and he's got his files, and in another room is the secretary, also waiting for instructions, and you have the boss and the secretary. And what's the link between the boss and the secretary? That the secretary will stop whatever he has to do, and he won't leave that place where he is, because at any time now, a boss may ring the bell and I'll have to go and respond. Is this not the link? The secretary will not move. The secretary will suppress going to the toilet, etc. No, if boss calls me and I'm not here, what will I do? So the secretary is so alert that boss can call me at any time. My employer can call me, can summon me, and there are no signs, etc. He's just got one asset. For example, there's a phone or a bell, and if he rings the bell, I'll have to go. And we don't know when the boss will ever need them. This is the link between the servant and Allah. Say subhanallah, if you understand what I'm trying to say. This is what our relationship should be with Allah, the same as I've just explained. The Allah and His servant, the link is that apart from death, this is the matter that Allah Ta'ala knows and what will happen after death. And none of us know this. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a call, maybe, to call us, and that we have to depart. Say subhanallah, what do we say? Oh, what's our philosophy? No, I'm healthy. After that, I'll get ill. After illness, I'll get cancer. After cancer, I'll get tuberculosis. After tuberculosis, I'll go to hospital. Then I'll get cured. And we think that's when I'm going to die. Is this a principle, a law such as this? Have we ever seen that a child is going to 12, 13 years old, 24, 25 years old? Do they know that death is coming? Have they prepared? Has that individual prepared? Has he driven? And then as soon as the person starts to drive, the phone call comes. This is your child. Died in accident. There was an old man. Was he an old person? Was she old? Was that person in a predicament or problem? So the philosophy between Allah, the creator, and the creation, man, is that just like the boss and the secretary. Totally like this. And this is a big waswas of shaitan. And this is a big point that he stops us from the whole deen. That person thinks that 26 years old, I'm young yet, I'm going to university, my death isn't going to come quick. And the mother and father say, you can do what you want in the evening, you're looking at women and you're playing games, etc. And then that person had an accident and he passed away. Is it? So now his hisab, will he not be accounted for? Will he not be asked about salah? Will he not be asked about his sins? Will he not be given hisab for his sins? Same hisab and accountancy for the deeds, just like what we discussed earlier. So this is the law, the principle of Allah, that after this many years, a person is fard for him to pray salah. All of the things are there, all of the principles are there. We're happy. Oh no, he was young and he had energy and he can do this and that. Allah Ta'ala says that the first and foremost point we need to understand is that never does a person die due to illness, never does a person die due to hardships in the world, or nor is this an excuse, I've got cancer today and that's it, I've passed away. Who can say this? Who's given these principles? There are thousands of people who have illnesses and they haven't passed away. And what is the link here? That, for example, today a doctor tells you have cancer and then you'll feel distress and that person will go towards the bed. Beware. As long as you have courage and determination, don't sit on the bed. Don't lie down on the bed. If you're sick, don't consider yourself as sick. And in your mind, the point should not come that your mouth will come through the action like this. No, totally not. Because this is a big dawah of shaitan that he has allowed me to understand. Despite being alive, I will drink, etc. and be merry. Allah Ta'ala says, I know when I will be calling you. So be prepared. There's no delil that a person will die here and you'll pass away. No. Allah Ta'ala says that if you and anyone, me, knows that, oh, this person's got an illness, oh, that's it, that's the end of his life, he can't come back anymore. But many people, murids have passed through some more severe hardships, subhanAllah. And I've seen people whose lives have seen thousands of illnesses, I'm not dying, I'm not passing away, just a little bit of pain, work's going fine. I said, because the call hasn't come yet. When Allah Ta'ala wills, the call will come, isn't it? So what's our link with Allah? What is the link here of maut? Death between the human being and Allah. What a beautiful hadith I've recited from to you. As I was moving along today, this came to my mind. Next, Allah Ta'ala says, with regards to the mu'min and the lifespan. Allah Ta'ala says, remember one point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the life of the mu'min just for this reason, illa khaira, so that he can do a good deed. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. What a great piece of guidance. So first Allah Ta'ala explains, now we listen. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that, oh mu'min, believers, that this is not for normal other people, common people, because we should have the understanding and the link. But the difference between the mu'min and the other person is here, that the person can get the khair, he's going to do a good deed. But that person's out of that philosophy. No, he's free, he's gone, he has no link with this. So here this is especially with the mu'min. Allah says, innahu la yuzidu mu'min. Allah Ta'ala says that the mu'min, his life, Allah Ta'ala increases the life of the mu'min for this reason, that person in no khair, that person maybe will do khair and a good action. So now understand the point. Allah Ta'ala increases the life. That's one philosophy that's now totally ended. That, for example, our maut is not written on a specific action or place. No, it is. Allah Ta'ala increases the age. Yes, but maut will come. And how does Allah increase the age? Listen, how does maut come? What is the time for maut? What is the time for death? Now, maut, the time for maut is every second. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Because this is what we are learning. That don't be a ghafil. This is the whispering of shaitan. He plays games and he'll play games with you. Totally don't become a ghafil or negligent from this point. The time for death is always there. That have you not seen in the world? For example, a person has gone into sajda prostration and he's not woken up from the sajda. His time had come. Death had come. Allah Ta'ala called that person. In one ruku, a person standing in ruku, he's totally fine. And he's come, the poor soul from India, to collect the charity, the donations. And he stood there and his back was hunched at the time. He stayed there in that same posture. A person left the masjid from the door. Person came at Jummah time, just some days back. And he was a good person. Salam, dua, understanding. I forgot the name. What's the name? Bombay Jurashev. Very good person. He was solid on his salah and his practice. Because I don't recall that there's any transaction of welfare or benefit of wealth. Rather, it's deen here we're talking about, that we're helping each other on. So he used to pray salah, he used to read to Jama. Look at that person, he's left his home, he's at a bath, and it's Jummah time. And I used to pray there on Jummah, I need to go to Jummah. He's left his home, he's going to the masjid that we're coming to pray Jummah. And he leaves the shop, he leaves around, or goes around the whole block. And what happens? Takes the shoes off. After that, 2 feet or 3 feet. And then, for example, he didn't reach to the masjid and his time had come to pass away. Say subhanAllah. So does anybody know from here when their time is up? Allah Ta'ala says the reality is such that the mu'min, the believer, he should understand that the time for death is there. That one breath, if it is breathed out, exhaled, then it cannot come back in without Allah Ta'ala's permission. And this is the time we have in this world. This is the philosophy of life and death. The qawm that was to understand this was the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum. As Ali, radiyallahu anhu, somebody asked him, Ali, what is the time of death? He said, this is the time of death. And I consider death, the time of death is that even if I blink an eyelid, that when the eyelid goes down, I don't have the trust, assurity that the blink will come back up. Because Allah Ta'ala, so when a person breathes out, the angel says, Rabb, do you give me jaza? I can give him some breath to breathe in. Allah says, let that person go. So what we realize is that not an illness, not an accident, not any other event can cause death. For example, I'm not going to go by plane because there could be a plane accident, I may pass away, or cancer, or I've got to avoid cancer or TB, etc. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is not the philosophy of life or death. Rather, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that don't think this is the case. Your maut could occur at any time, and when you breathe in and out, maybe when you breathe in you can't breathe out, or breathe out, breathe in. So if you breathe in and out, Allah Ta'ala has extended your life. Allah has extended your life, and this time that Allah Ta'ala has increased for you in life, then there's a very big rahmah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you are the mu'min. Allah Ta'ala says, understand this point. Say subhanallah. Understand this point, that you had passed away. You had passed away. The person who breathes out and then he breathes in and breathes out and breathes in, that this is the fadl of Allah, that Allah has increased the life. So if you breathe out, then life's gone. And if we breathe in, then Allah Ta'ala has increased the life. What a great hadith. So if I breathe out, I've passed away. Now this is the fadl of Allah. If I breathed out, and then if I breathe out after that, my life is gone. Allahu Akbar, I committed sin, looked at a woman, or did an act of sin. And if I breathe out, then I'm finished. But Allah Ta'ala says, no. I'm allowing you to breathe out, and then Allah will allow you to breathe in as well. Breathe in after that. I'm giving you a big favor. Illa khaira. Straight away do khair during that breath. Aha. Don't waste the breath that Allah Ta'ala gives to you. So this is the life of insan, the human being, my friends. What a beautiful point this is. A great point. That the mu'min should not even think for a minute. Always the mu'min has to think, my life has increased, there's increased, because Allah Ta'ala is allowing me to breathe in again. And Allah Ta'ala says, I've just increased your life for this reason, because I know your actions. You were stood in Jahannam and Hellfire. Allah Ta'ala says, I know very well what you are and who you are. So the next breath I've given you to breathe in, have I given this to you to sleep or to earn the dunya, or to seek other things, superficial, or to commit more acts of crime, and to be like a bandit? Allah says, no, the next breath I gave to you to breathe in, you are a mu'min, I want to allow you to do khair, do two actions. That the breath that you just breathed out, and you did sins, and you got another chance now, straight away do istighfar. And don't waste this time, because Allah says, the next breath you may breathe out, and that could be maut. Maut will come. And this is maut, that when a person breathes out, nobody says he's died, but when you don't breathe in, they say, oh, he's died. So if the pulse is moving, they'll say, no, the pulse is there. There's a pulse. But when the pulse stops and it doesn't continue, they say, oh, the man's passed away or the woman's passed away. And this is the point. And Allah Ta'ala is mentioning this, that when you breathe in, then you've got the extra lease of life. So when you breathe out, then you could have passed away. When you breathe in, think that Allah Ta'ala has given you another lease of life. Don't think you'll die when you'll get ill, or there'll be a car accident or a road accident. No, this is shaitan's philosophy that is stopping you. He's stopping you from doing good. I am telling you that you're on a dangerous path. You've done a lot of sins, and there's a very bad, severe punishment. So it's your chance now. If you do istighfar, Allah says, I will forgive all of your sins. So my friends, I ask myself, that how much life am I wasting? Every breath Allah Ta'ala says of a mu'min is very valuable. You can earn paradise. You can earn forgiveness. You can attain maqamats, levels on every breath of a mu'min is so valuable. Every breath. Remember this point, that for a mu'min every breath is so valuable. So that Allah Ta'ala says, I've not stopped you from dunya. You can continue to live in dunya. And when the bell rings, you'll be called. What is your job and duty in the world? That every breath of yours should leave as a valuable breath. And it should be breathed as a valuable breath. Otherwise every breath we will regret and will have remorse. And every breath has a high, high value. And the mu'min doesn't understand. It's the person who has lowered the value of the breath. This is the game of shaitan. And shaitan wants to say that we are mu'min. And after having iman, Allah says, your value so much that on every breath you have such maqamat, such status that you cannot imagine. Allah Ta'ala says, ask those people who've passed away, who are passing away, they shriek out, scream in the graves, that Allah allow us to say Allah once more from our tongues. Allah says, nope, time is finished. Subhanallah, you can say as many times as you want right now. Allah Ta'ala will allow us to recite Subhanallah. You can do tasbih as much as you want, as many rounds as you want. But when your life is finished, when it expires, when you breathe out and you can't breathe in the next, that's it. The bundle of deeds will go ahead, and those sins you committed, there will be punishments. The grave will squeeze us, and the people above the grave on the earth will not be able to make us forgiven. And all of the azab will come with us into the grave. Allah says, I gave you a chance in those breaths. If you had recited astaghfar, I would have forgiven you. Allah Ta'ala says, a very big message, my friends. So the life of a mu'min, how should he live the life? In negligence? Unaware? No, Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. Allah says that make every breath of yours valuable, worthless, that from every breath you breathe, Allah Ta'ala's name comes out. And this is the dhikr of Allah, that the awliya Allah Ta'ala grabbed hold of this practice. They didn't say that stop running a shop, or you shouldn't work, or drive a taxi. Allah Ta'ala has given all these occupations, but Allah says don't make your breath, your breathing, ghafil, neglectful. Every breath of yours is valuable, and every breath should have the name Allah attached to it. Subhanallah. There are people who live lives like this. When they practice in their lives the reality, then tell me, which person knows how to drive from birth? No, you have to learn how to drive. You have to give the test. And we do du'as. Oh, please, I have a test tomorrow, Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Sahib. Theory test has become hard nowadays. Please do du'a for me. And a person tries hard and studies and revises. And that's when the car comes. And then when a person learns how to drive, then he says, I want to drive a bigger car or a taxi. I want to drive this car. Because now the person knows how to drive. So because that person practiced, learned, he was a learner, then he became more accustomed to driving the car. So the heart, our heart at the moment is astray. Is deviated with, and is astray with the whispering of shaitan. Shaitan has made us go towards wrong actions and sins, and we feel like doing this. Our heart is like a wild horse. It's running astray. And who, when he is wild, is listening to the words of advice, the nasiha. So waswas of shaitan has impregnated our hearts. In the hadith, it is stated that shaitan, he's sitting on the heart of the human being, and he comes with the permission. He knows that I can go inside, and he knows that, shaitan knows that he runs in the veins, the blood veins, with us. We think, no, it's me who's doing this, and I'm great, and I've achieved a lot. And hadith explained to us, but we don't understand. We keep on reading, but we don't understand. The walis of Allah, they delve into the hadith in depth, and they bring out the pearls from the deep oceans. I swear by Allah, when I read this hadith, these points, these words were not in my mind. Wallahu billah, I went into maraqbah. I said, Allah, I feel like today I speak on this hadith, I go and speak on this hadith, and Allah, allow me to be rectified. And now, subhanAllah, the words have spread so far. And nicely we've understood this subject. SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala says, my ilm, my knowledge, Quran and hadith is like the ocean. I've not even read the whole hadith yet. Let me tell you, this is a hadith narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari Muslim. The ulema, the scholars, they will know about this. So what will be the great pearls and secrets Allah Ta'ala has kept aside in this hadith? Every word of the Quran and hadith, subhanAllah, is saving us from Jahannam, from hellfire. These things take us from Jahannam, my friends. Don't think that this is just for blind reading. Or for example, we see the story, the event of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, with Zulaykha. Every word of the Quran has come wahid for one reason, hidayah, guidance. Allah Ta'ala says, I won't let you go into Jahannam, I will deliver you to Jannah, paradise. My Quran will take you, it's a shelter for you, it's an assistant for you. And there are tafsir nowadays, and discussions and conferences. But we forget that how shall we be saved from Jahannam? Tell me today, if we understand this hadith today, if the whole ummah understands that every breath of yours, O mu'min, is valuable, and you pass away when you breathe out, then you're alive again, then you pass away again, then you're alive again. Allah Ta'ala says that don't waste your time and life, that if you, when you breathe out, if I didn't send another breath, Allah says, then you pass away. Somebody here, is anyone ill? Is anybody got TB or cancer? No, we're waiting. Foolish are those people who are scared of these illnesses. This is no means to death. Rather, be afraid of what Allah Ta'ala said. The doctors, they sit down with the table and make people afraid. That forget this. As long as there's life, don't leave the house of Allah, is the masjid, and don't leave the dhikr of Allah. That's it. Maut is there. Maut will happen. Every day people are dying. Every moment, every hour, every day, every half day, every other day, people are being born and people are passing away. So my brothers, the meaning of this is one that I've explained, that don't be ghafil, don't live the life in negligence. We should be learning the dhikr of Allah. It's such a valuable, extremely valuable pastime and action. And Allah says, any tijara, earning of money, amwalukum awladukum bidhikrillah. The Quran states that don't love the dunya, the mal, more than the dhikr of Allah. Allah says, any action of the world should not stop you from dhikr, because dhikr will not let you become a ghafil. SubhanAllah, say SubhanAllah. Dhikr of Allah will not allow you to become a ghafil. Every breath will introduce you to Allah, meet you to Allah. Because every breath of a dhikr, when a person says Allah once, then he gets closer to Allah. Closer to Allah. So it's like a car, a motor vehicle. That every moment if we say Allah, Allah will get close to Allah. Allah says, when you are close to me, then why will I give you hardships and difficulties? If you are near to my qurb, I have given you such a vehicle. Allah says, that as long as your heart says Allah, 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 then Allah says that you will get more results and positivity. So for example, what do we need to do now? We have to make effort. We have to make effort, because effort is a great, great asset in the life. Make yourself valuable. I'm not stopping you from anything else. I'm not saying go stop going to the wife or the children or dunya or earning, etc. No, I'm just saying that make yourself valuable. Hold yourself in high esteem. And Allah Ta'ala has given us an example. Is there something wrong? That we pray Salah 5 times a day. And 5 times a day from Dhuhr till now, until Asr, we are free. We can become a bodybuilder and do what we want. Are we wasteless? A waste of space? Oh no, I prayed Salah and now I pray Asr time. So the time in between, where did that go? What did you do? That we are so free now in the world that we don't have to practice in the time that Allah Ta'ala gives to us. Allah Ta'ala says, that's it. That's the meaning of life, what you have taken to be the meaning of life. Allah says, no, every moment you should be with me and consider yourself valuable. This is the point. Now, shaitan. shaitan. For example, you say to somebody that, I prayed Asr Salah, I don't need to do anything else after this. I recited Quran, what else shall I do? In other words, nobody is accepting this point that with every breath we should remember Allah, because Allah Ta'ala is saying that I gave you life for this reason. For this reason, that Allah says that I gave you very clear objectives in life, that the life I've extended allowed you to breathe in again after you breathe out. Allah says you need to do good deeds during that time. The two things, two effects, that do istighfar of the previous sins and the next life to come, and for that time that will be useful for you afterwards. So istighfar should always be on the tip of the tongue, always, because we don't know which sin Allah Ta'ala will give the punishment. Always have astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah in your hearts. Always do the dhikr of Allah. There's a beautiful life, and then you can do what you want after that. So for this, what do we need to do? We have to make effort. We need to make effort. Our heart, which is astray, then we need to do maraqaba. And for example, we come here. I'll just give you a taste for a little while for dhikr and maraqaba. We need hours that we need to make the heart habitual in the dhikr of Allah. Make it practice so it starts to move. So for that, the dhikr, you should learn the dhikr of Allah. I'll explain to you, those who have not learnt, what is that? That make effort on this, my brothers. Make effort on this. Then make your heart used to the fact that you will go wherever you are in the world working, your heart will remember Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. Yes, if maut is going to come, let it come. Death is written, it's prescribed in its time. So when we go to the hospital, they say, oh, you've got cancer. We say, okay, fine, I've got cancer. There's no difference to those people's lives or their thoughts or their reaction. Oh, my stomach's bad, or my heart, or I'm feeling no good, I'm feeling tension. Now, how can maut come like this, death? But such a philosophy shaitan has given, that when you are ill, when there'll be a pain in your stomach, and when this occurs, then you will pass away. No, this is not the case. That everyone should be aware that death can come in at any time. So a person is so scared of death that he, all his breath and his power and energy, he loses within a short space of time. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Death is between us and other people all the time. As long as we're young and energetic, and for example, Allah says, you've got the opportunity with my hikmah. Somebody's called early, somebody's called late. That we are all the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala can say, for example, there's a colleague of ours, mashallah, he has an ajeeb story. He said, my son, he becomes 16 and then he passes away. And then another son comes to this age and he passes away. And all his children passed away. And he said, I am tired physically after reading the janazah. But his daughter, her mind isn't, for example, 100% correct. And this is the hikmah of Allah. Allah Ta'ala knows what his hikmah is. And this is wisdom. So our job is to do what? Is that the situation between us and Allah is like the boss and the secretary. Always ready. We don't know when the bell will ring and Allah will call us. We should have no excuses. I'm not ready. I was ill. I can't work straight away. When I'm older, do it. No, no. Every breath of a mu'min is valuable. And when will this become regular and useful for us? When with every breath we remember Allah. And for this we need to do a lot of practice. Not too much. Allah has given us a natural organ in our bodies, the heart, which always does the dhikr of Allah. So for the heart, we need to do this action, which is what? That morning and evening we sit down ourselves. You will sit down with me anyway. There's a lot of thawab, alhamdulillah, and you get practice as well, and there's a lot of benefit, but you need to make your own effort as well. So take some time out. Take some time out, a half an hour, 45 minutes, 30 minutes in the hour, an hour. Sit in the afternoon after dhuhr, after asr. Sit down, close your eyes, and in the heart, Allah, 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 alhamdulillah. I will say, if you work hard on this for 1 week, then you won't need to do this yourself anymore. Your heart will say Allah, Allah, Allah itself. And when you have this feeling, emotion, you are free. Subhanallah, then think a little bit. You don't need to have wudu. You just have, for example, small amount of belongings. You don't need to be in isolation or lock yourself. And people will be out there in the quiet environment. You'll be doing Allah, 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 Allah. You won't be backbiting, doing slandering, etc. Every breath that's going in and out, alhamdulillah, the person won't even know that his death has come. He won't even know. Ask that person, he doesn't know. The person who dies doesn't know. And he's playing the games. Oh, I need to keep on saying Allah, 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 even when I escape death. Such a great hadith. That the person who does the dhikr of Allah will go into paradise laughing, smiling. What great hadith and what lessons they give us. And we don't even know this. So we should have practiced. We should be practicing so much for thereafter. We're saying, no, I don't have halal money and I'm a food star, etc. Fine. No need to wait for anything. Start the dhikr of Allah right now, today. Today, in every condition, in every way, whatever your circumstances are, doesn't matter how bad you are, doesn't matter, say istighfar, 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 Allah will try my best. But from today I will start, and on my tongue, always I will be saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. What do we need to do when we do a sin, implement something wrong? We say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. What do we say? No, no, shaitan will say, why are you saying astaghfar? You're committing the sins. You're going to commit more sins. And what's the point of doing astaghfar? Shaitan doesn't want that we meet Allah. Shaitan doesn't want that. Allah Ta'ala wants us to meet Him, but shaitan doesn't want us to meet Him. Shaitan doesn't want us to meet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, our Creator. So Allah Ta'ala knows we're weak. Allah Ta'ala has given us assistance, and we commit a sin. Okay, I'm doing something wrong. I'm committing haram action or a sin. So what do we need to do at the time? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. So that astaghfar, what will it do? Alhamdulillah, one day it will take us out of that sin. Definitely, definitely. So it will make us, introduce us to Allah. So anyway, will we try with the dhikr of Allah? My brothers, don't be lazy. All I can do is push and explain. The rest is your choice. And if I push, etc., then I should say, Allah, you give me the thawab, but you, my brothers, I feel that we, hand in hand, smiling, laughing, walk into paradise. That's when we'll enjoy ourselves, that this dhikr has given us a benefit. So understand my words. I'm explaining it to you from hadith and Allah Ta'ala's kalam. So do effort, make effort, but you get time, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Don't do anything else. And start practicing on your heart, that my heart should start to move with the name Allah, Allah, Allah. The person who hasn't learned dhikr, and to come to this ajiz, nothing wrong with that. Straight away I will teach you dhikr, and then you can start on the action that you need to do. Alhamdulillah, there's nothing else to do. But after learning dhikr, there's one condition. That is the condition that an individual who learns dhikr from the teacher, then as long as we don't do amal on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, then there'll be no good effect. So there's one condition: that person should keep the full length beard according to the deen, the principles. If you don't, then make the niyyah, because nobody can reach to Allah, no deed will be accepted unless we do amal on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is wajib. Not this you can leave if you want, and if you've got thawab in it, you can do it. If no thawab, don't do it. Allah says this is wajib, otherwise I won't accept your deeds. I won't accept them. They are big masail. In this, so on the first row, the person's not allowed to stand who doesn't have the beard. Ikama is a massive point. Forget about that. They say even in the first row, that person cannot come, because he's disrespectful. He's disrespectful. And this is where success comes from. If we are loyal to the Prophet Muhammad, then we can say to Allah that we are His. So by leaving the Prophet, we are trying to take a shortcut to Allah. No, we'll have to go through the same path. So the person who wants to learn dhikr, then fulfill this condition that you have to keep the beard to the right length. Otherwise, you will never attain Allah's nearness, nor will you get dhikr benefit or other things benefit. It's a waste. So one full fist length, this is the beard, and you can have the permission to cut around that, but not within that. Not even a millimeter less than that should be the length of the beard. That's it. But those people who naturally their beard doesn't grow, that's another factor. But the person who cuts or trims, and the question doesn't arise for that person, anything will be useful for him. Everything for that person at that time is haram for that person. There's adab for that person, a severe adab. Remember this. So with the guarantee I'm saying to you, these are words of the muftiyan, not my own words. So the person who wants to learn dhikr, then keep the beard the right length, and the rest for the sins, say astaghfar, astaghfar, may Allah Ta'ala forgive, and then learn dhikr. Alhamdulillah, I tell you, I'm not saying this, the Quran and hadith give guarantee that person will enter into paradise laughing and smiling. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.